body is, it can achieve perfect health. No matter how fat a body is, if it is wanting to be thinner, it can be. There is not a state that cannot be altered to be something else. But the attention must be taken from what is and put upon what is preferred in order to create what is preferred. And that is the hardest thing for those who are experiencing a state of being that is not to their liking to understand. For they are so focused upon what is and that they continue to recreate, add more unto what is. They are magnets attracting unto that which they are giving their attention to. When we say, if you feel sick, you cannot attract health. If you feel fat, you cannot attract thin. Some say, then I'm stuck here forever in this undesirable situation. We say, not at all. Not if you can take your attention from what is and put it upon what you are wanting instead. That is the key.
The next subjects are subjects that I hear general questions about, not a whole lot, but they are so important to the people who do ask them that I have asked you to do these particular subjects. The next one is called Christ consciousness. Would you touch on that for us, please?
As we are observing physical man today, no matter what part of the world he is living upon, we have noticed that for the most part, he spends most of his life experience looking for that set of rules against which he can pattern or compare his own life experience. And then he spends the rest of his life trying to hammer a square peg into a round hole, wondering why he cannot find happiness and joy within those rules. Man is, for the most part, looking outside of himself for that which is standard, or that which is truth, or that which is right. And in this world of great diversity, that can bring so much discontent because there are so many rules to choose from, you see. That which he seeks is not a set of rules that is outside of him. It is a guidance system that comes forth from within him. And as we watch physical man in this time, seeking the wisdom that was offered by that one, we have noticed that the physical man limits himself only to that which he can find in the books that have been translated again and again, in the books that have been edited and added unto, in the books that no longer say that which was said by the great one that they revere. And so what we are encouraging is, rather than looking through the relics of old, that all physical beings look inside themselves, that they speak with the Christ that lives today, not only with the one that lived 2,000 years ago. For it is our absolute knowing that there is not a being upon the earth that does not have access to the knowledge that comes forth from within. Now, whether he calls it Christ consciousness or whether he refers to it as the consciousness of some other great being, it matters not. For the same consciousness has been called by many different names, you see. What is important is that somehow he accesses that truth that comes forth from within.
Abraham, we live in a time that for some reason has accelerated the amount of people who are considered addicted to something or the other. I mean, addicted in a negative way, in something that they would like to, or someone would like them to, release. Could you tell us something about it?
Indeed. As physical beings, you tend to be creatures of habit. And that is all right, for many of your habits save you a great deal of time. But as your bodies and as your minds are quick to develop habits, then sometimes you find yourself in the midst of something that you are doing habitually or compulsively that you no longer are wanting to do, only to discover that the habit or compulsion or addiction has become so strong that you cannot, in this moment, easily release it. And so it should not surprise you that in one day you cannot release it. Nor should you beat up on yourself because you can't. That is the greatest detriment regarding this subject of addictions. So many are beating up on themselves, and so many are being beaten up on by one another, and that there is much more negativity that surrounds this subject than need surround it. our encouragement to anyone who has any habit or compulsion or addiction that they are no longer wanting is that they take their eyes from what they are now doing that they are not wanting and put it elsewhere. For the attention to the subject enhances it and makes it stronger. There are many who are struggling very hard within the addiction. In other words, they feel as if they are trapped. While in the beginning it was attracted out of their wanting, it seems that the wanting to release it is not enough to affect that, but it is. The wanting to release the addiction is as powerful as the wanting that attracted it to begin with. All beings are standing in there now as a result of that which they have thought before. And so do not look upon yourself feeling such failure because you are now experiencing the result of that which you set forth in thought before. It is only a matter of deciding clearly what you now want and giving your attention to that.
So let me ask you, Abraham, what's in it for you? Why are you doing this? Why are you taking your time?
Because we are wanting to. That is primary. Because we've agreed that we would, even before your emergence into this physical body. You see, every physical being that is upon the earth has a non-physical counterpart. Therefore, everything that is lived by those who are physical is experienced also by the non-physical. You have come forth in this dimension to experience in a physical setting with this marvelous buffer of time, physical life, that you may set forth your thoughts and attract unto you and create in the physical. We are focused from the non-physical, experiencing all that and enjoying all of that, and we must say to you that all that you are living is adding unto that which we are about. As we interact here in the physical setting with you and others who are like you, these combinations have not been before. Which means as the combination of that which you are and the combination of that which we are, which is ever changing, comes together, we are setting forth or launching new creation. And that is what we are about. For we are, as you are, creators. It is with great exuberance that we have offered these words. There is great love here for you.
Thank you so much.
We are complete.
Thank you.
And this concludes the introduction to Abraham. Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation, and this is a recording entitled The Law of Attraction. This is the second recording in Abraham's first special subjects album, and it was originally received in 1988. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abrahamhicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com. Abraham, a group of beings who are not currently in physical form, speak this material through Esther Hicks, who is in physical form at this particular time, and she'll bring them in right now, and they'll begin the message for you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely pleased to discuss this most important topic, law of attraction. For within it you will find the understanding, if you are looking for it, the key to all that you seek. We are non-physical friends. What we are meaning by that is the voice that you are hearing now comes forth from non-physical perspective. And we interact here in this very physical world with you in order to assist you in understanding the universal laws that exist in both our non-physical dimension and your physical dimension. There are three eternal universal laws that we are wanting to assist you in understanding, that you may apply them effectively and satisfactorily here through your physical expression of life. The law of attraction is the first of the laws that we are offering. And if you do not understand and are not able to effectively apply the law of attraction, then the second law, which is law of deliberate creating, and the third, which is law of allowing, cannot be. You must understand and effectively utilize the first in order to understand and utilize the second. And you must be able to understand and utilize the second before you will be able to understand and utilize the third. Many of you have in other lives, physical and non-physical, come to understand the law of attraction. You have just forgotten it here. You also have understood and effectively applied law of deliberate creation. Law of allowing is what most of you are working upon now from that broader perspective. The law of attraction says that that which is likened to itself is drawn. And when you understand the magnetic power of your thought, then you will understand how it is you are getting what you are getting in your life experience. The second law is the law of deliberate creation. Now we emphasize the word deliberate because all of you are creators of your life experience. There is not an exception to that. But most of you, because you do not understand these laws, do not create deliberately. You do it by accident or by default. The law of deliberate creation says that that which you give thought to and that which you believe or allow or expect is. And the law of allowing says, I am that which I am, and I am willing to allow all others to be that which they are. When you are willing to allow others to be as they are, even in their not allowing of you, then you will be allower. It is not likely that you will reach that point until you come to understand how it is you get what you get. Only when you understand that another cannot be a part of your experience unless you invite them through thought, that circumstances cannot be a part of your experience unless you invite them through thought, only then will you be the allower that you are wanting to be as you have come forth into this expression of life. All of these laws hinge upon your understanding of the law of attraction. You live here in a world that seems very vast. And if you were to look at the world very carefully, you would see that there are amazing events and circumstances. Some of them you approve of and like. Some of them you disapprove of. There is that which you like and that which you don't like and some of everything in between. Your physical environment is like the universe itself, where there is some of everything that has ever been thought, ever been imagined, ever been experienced. You're not here to try to get the world to be just like you want it to be. You are here to create the world around you that you choose, while you allow the world as others choose it to exist also. An understanding of that intent as you came forth into physical experience, and an understanding of the law of attraction and the law of deliberate creation, will bring you clearly to your most wanted understanding of all, which is law of allowing. And so let us begin. See yourselves as wondrous and powerful magnets. And your magnetic power hinges upon your use of thought. As you give thought to what is wanted, the magnet reaches out into the universe and attracts other thoughts that are like unto it and brings it unto you. Other thoughts, circumstances, events, other beings or other creators who are wanting that which you want, all of these things are brought into a sort of powerful magnetic funnel into your experience. In short, you are getting what you are thinking about, whether you're wanting it or not. The universe delivers equally, not stopping to question whether you want it or not, but offering you, by law, whatever it is that you are focused upon. It is a most wondrous law, for as all laws, it is absolute and consistent, and it works even in your ignorance of it. As you begin to give thought, no matter where the stimulation has come from, you may have picked it up subliminally or unconsciously from a friend's thoughts. You may have received it from the television or from something you are reading. It matters not where the stimulation came from. As you ponder that thought, the law of attraction goes to work for you and begins to offer to you other thoughts that are of similar nature. If you are thinking about something in your present, perhaps something that you do not want, you find yourself attracting others who are willing and wanting to talk about the same subject. Until your thought grows larger and larger, you begin to reach into your past experience, sometimes even projecting this negativity into your future experience, attracting more and more conversation, more and more evidence, more and more circumstance and event that perpetuate this negative thought. Of course, it works just as well with positive thought. You are much more than you see here in this physical body. While you are indeed a wondrous physical creator, you exist simultaneously in another dimension. There is a part of you, a non-physical part of you, we call it your inner being, that exists right now as you exist here in this physical body. Many of you have come to understand that you existed before this physical experience, and many of you are believing or hoping that there is something beyond this experience. But what we are wanting you to understand is that you have a partner in this life experience, a non-physical part of you that exists now and communicates with you from the non-physical dimension. Your inner being speaks to you in the form of emotion. Now, this is a very important understanding for you, for as you have just heard, the law of the universe, this powerful law of attraction, works to give you more of whatever you are thinking about. It is nice to know that you have an inner being who is paying attention to what you are attracting through thought and offering you some guidance as a sort of reminder of what it is you are really wanting. As we speak of these laws, sometimes we put you into a sort of a tailspin. You say, if my thoughts are these powerful magnetic attractors, then I must monitor my thoughts to see that I do not give thought to what I do not want. But your thoughts come so fast, and that would be a very difficult, if not impossible, thing for you to do, to monitor every thought. For as you were monitoring your thoughts, you could not be thinking the thoughts. You have a pre-arrangement. Pre, meaning before your birth here, with your inner being. Your inner being agreed to offer you emotion, emotion that you would feel. The emotion was a good idea, because you can be thinking other thoughts and yet still receive the communication through feeling. And this communication, from our perspective, is a most wondrous guidance system. If you are giving thought in the direction of something that is wanted, your inner being will offer you positive emotion. If you are giving thought in the direction of what is not wanted, your inner being will offer you negative emotion. And so simply by paying attention to the way that you are feeling, you will know at all times the direction from which your powerful magnetic being is attracting the subject of whatever you are giving thought to. Your wondrous guidance system is of great advantage to you, because the powerful law of attraction is working whether you know that it is or not. And so as you are giving thought to something that you are not wanting, as you stay focused upon that thought, by law, you are attracting more and more and more and more and more until eventually you will attract events or circumstances right into your experience, you see. If you are sensitive to the way that you are feeling, then you will notice in the early subtle stages that you are focused upon something that you are not wanting, so that you may easily change the thought to begin attracting something that you are wanting. If you're not sensitive to the way that you are feeling, then you will not notice that you are thinking in the direction of what you are not wanting, and you may very well attract something very large and very powerful that you do not want, that will take some doing to deal with later, you see. There are only two emotions from our perspective. One feels good and one feels bad. You call them all sorts of different things. But essentially, all of those negative emotions, whether you call it guilt or loneliness or anger or frustration, all of those feel much the same. They do not feel good. And all of them are guidance from inner being saying that which you are thinking, speaking, or acting is not in harmony with what you are really wanting. What we have just offered is an explanation of how thoughts connect one with another, how thoughts literally draw other thoughts. As thoughts add one unto the other, they become bigger and bigger and bigger. And proportionately, the emotion that comes forth from within becomes greater and greater and greater. Therefore, as you are focused upon something that you want, by law of attraction, more and more thoughts toward what you are wanting will be drawn, and greater positive emotion will come forth from inner being. If you are wanting to create something very quickly, focus upon that which you want until more and more thoughts of what you are wanting are gathered unto. And then you will be a very powerful magnet bringing into your experience the subject of your thought. That which you really, really want comes to you very quickly. And when we use the word want, what we are saying is giving thought in the direction of what is wanted, while at the same time experiencing great, powerful, passionate, positive emotion. If you can see yourselves as a magnet, can you not understand that it is your state of being that attracts unto you? If you are feeling poor, from that state of being, you cannot attract prosperity. It defies law. If you are feeling unloved, you cannot attract love. If you are feeling fat or unattractive, you cannot attract beauty. It defies law. Your mental state of being, or your attitude about self, is the basis from which you attract more unto you. And so law of attraction has many different points of view. It applies to thoughts that have magnetic power, that are attracted one to another. It has to do with people who have magnetic power, who attract one to another. It has to do with you being a magnet, attracting thought, attracting people, attracting events, attracting lifestyle. Indeed, everything that you bring into your experience, you bring because of this powerful law of attraction. And so the point is to see yourself as you are wanting to be, as if it already is, and from that point of being, you will attract more. That is the reason that the better it gets, the better it gets. And the worse it gets, the worse it gets. We are wanting to assist you in a process that will bring you to a view or picture of yourself from which you will begin to attract. So many of you do not see yourselves through your own eyes. You let others reflect back to you their vision of you. And as you look into their eyes and hear their words, what they see of you is not what you are wanting to see, but it is so real that it is from that perspective that you attract. You become a magnet that is created through the eyes and wanting of others, rather than a magnet that is created by your own desire of who you are wanting to be. We will offer you a process by which you will choose what sort of magnet you will be. No longer will you be subject to what others believe or want or see. You will be the powerful creator of you and of your experience. You may be feeling that it would be easier to be hearing these words if they had come to you the first day of your experience upon this earth. And if we were talking to you on your first day of physical life experience, we would say to you, welcome to planet Earth. There is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. You are a magnificent creator, and you are here by your powerful and deliberate wanting to be here. You have specifically applied the wondrous law of deliberate creation, and by your ability to do that, you are here. Go forth, giving thought to what you are wanting, attracting life experience to help you decide what you want. And once you have decided, giving thought only unto that. Most of your time will be spent collecting data, data that will help you decide what it is you want. But your real work is to decide what you want and then to focus upon it. For it is through focusing upon what you want that you will attract it. That is the process of creating. Giving thought to what you want, so much thought and such clear thought that your inner being offers forth emotion. And as you are giving thought with emotion, you become the most powerful of all magnets. And that is the process by which you will attract into your experience. Many of the thoughts that you will be thinking will not be powerful in their attracting, not in the beginning, not unless you stay focused upon them long enough that they become more. And as they become more in quantity, they become more in power. And as they become more in quantity and more in power, the emotion that comes forth from inner being will be greater. When you think thoughts with no emotion, you are creating pretty much on your own. When you think thoughts with emotion, you have accessed the power of the universe. Go forth, we would say, on this first day of life experience, knowing that your work is to decide what you want and then to focus upon that. But we are not talking to you on the first day of your life experience. You have been here for a while. And most of you have been seeing yourself not only through your own eyes, in fact, not even primarily through your own eyes. You have been seeing yourselves through the eyes of others. And many of you are not now currently in the state of being that you want to be. We intend here to offer you a process where you can achieve the state of being that is your choosing, so that you will access the power of the universe and begin attracting the subject of your wanting rather than the subject of what you feel is your actual state of being. From our perspective, there is a very great difference between that which now exists, that which you call your reality, and that which your reality really is. Even as you sit there in a body that is not healthy, or in a body that is not the size or shape or vitality that you choose, in a lifestyle that does not please you, driving an automobile that embarrasses you, interacting with others that do not bring you pleasure, we are wanting to assist you in understanding that while that may seem to be your state of being, it need not be. Your state of being is the way you feel about self in any point in time. Thoughts that are thought without emotion are not of great magnetic power. While every thought that you think has creative potential or magnetic attracting potential, the thoughts that are thought in combination with emotion are the most powerful. Certainly, the majority of your thoughts then, understanding that, have no great attracting power. They are more or less maintaining what you have already attracted. But in order to affect change in your life experience, thoughts thought in combination with great emotion are necessary. And so, can you not see the value of spending 10 or 15 minutes every day deliberately setting forth powerful thoughts in combination with great, powerful, passionate, positive emotion in order to attract circumstances and events into your life experience that are to your wanting? We see great value in that, and that is what we are offering now, is the process by which you may spend a little bit of time in every day where you will intentionally attract into your experience the health, the vitality, the prosperity, the interaction with others, all the things that make up your vision of what perfect life experience for you would be. That will be a changing thing, friends. For as you intend and receive, you will not only receive the benefit of that which you have created, you will also receive a new perspective from which your intentions will be different. That is what evolution and growth are about. Here is the process. You are going to go to a sort of workshop every day. Not for a long period of time. 15 minutes is a good amount of time. 20 at most. This workshop need not be the same place in every day. It is good if it is a place where you are not distracted. And it is not a place where you will enter an altered state of consciousness. It is not a meditative state. It is a place where you will go, clearly giving thought to what you are wanting, giving thought with such clarity that your inner being responds by offering emotion. Before you go to this place, it is important that you be happy. For as you go there not happy or feeling no emotion, then your work will not be of great value, for your attracting power will not be there. When we say happy, we are not speaking of that jumping up and down sort of excitement. We mean an uplifted, light-hearted feeling, that sort of feeling where all is well. And so we recommend that you do whatever it takes to get happy. For each of you, it is a different process. For Esther, hearing music is a very fast way to get that uplifted, happy feeling. Not all music, and not even the same music every time. For some of you, it is interacting with animals, or being near water that is moving. And once you bring yourself to that feeling, then sit. And now you are in your workshop. Your work here in this workshop is to assimilate data that you have been collecting from your real life experience, interacting with others, moving in and out of your physical environment. Bringing the data together in a sort of picture of self, a picture that satisfies and pleases you. Your life experience outside of your workshop is of great value. And as you are moving around through your day, no matter what you are doing, as you are going to work, as you are working around your home, as you are interacting with your mate or your friends or your children or your parents, if you will use that time with one of your intentions being to collect data, looking for things that you like that you may bring into your workshop, then you will find every day a day of fun. Have you ever gone on a shopping spree where you had some money in your pocket and your intent on this spree was to find something that you wanted to spend your money for? And as you are looking around, there are many things that you don't want. Your intent being to find something that you want to exchange for the dollars. Well, that is the way we would like you to look at every day of your life experience, as if you have a pocket full of something that you are exchanging for this data. You may see someone who has a joyful personality collect that data, intending to bring it into your workshop later. You may see someone driving an automobile that you would like collect that data. You may see an occupation that pleases you. Whatever it is that you are seeing that pleases you, remember it, even write it down if you are wanting. As you see anything that you think you would like to be your life experience, see yourself as collecting the data in a sort of mental bank. And then when you go into your workshop, you can begin assimilating the data. And as you assimilate the data, you will prepare a picture of self from which you will begin attracting into your experience. If you are able to grasp that your work, no matter what other activities you are performing, your real work is to look around for things that you want with the intent of bringing them into the workshop in order to create your vision of self from which you will attract, then you will come to know that there is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. And so now you are happy, and you are sitting someplace in your workshop, and let us offer you a sort of example of the way you may do your work in your workshop. I like being here, for I recognize the value and power of this time. I feel very good as I am here. And as I see myself in a sort of total package. A package that I know is of my own creating, and certainly a package of my choosing. I am full of energy in this picture of self, tireless really, moving through life experience with no resistance. As I see myself gliding about in this picture of self, moving in and out of my car, in and out of buildings, in and out of rooms, in and out of conversations, in and out of life experience, I see myself flowing effortlessly, comfortably, and happily. I see myself attracting only those who are in harmony with my current intent, and I see myself clearer and clearer in every moment about what it is I am wanting. When I get into my automobile and I'm moving to a place, I see myself arriving at that place healthy and refreshed and on time and prepared for whatever it is that I'm about to do there. I see myself dressed to perfection in just the manner that I choose for self. And it is nice to know that it matters not what others are doing or what others are even thinking about what I am doing. What is important is that I am pleased with me. And as I see myself in this picture of self, I certainly am. I recognize that I am unlimited in all facets of my life. I have a bank account, a checkbook balance that is not limited. And as I see myself moving through life experience, it is exhilarating to know that there is nothing that I am doing limited by dollars. I'm making all of my decisions based upon whether I want the experience or not, not based upon whether I can afford the experience or not. for I have recognized finally that I am a magnet that attracts whatever prosperity, whatever health, whatever relationships that I choose at any point in time. I choose absolute and continuing abundance, for I understand that there is not a limit to the abundance in the universe, and that by my attracting it to me, I am not limiting another. There is enough for everyone, and the key is for us to see it and want it, and then we will attract it. And so I have chosen unlimited, not necessarily putting a big stash away, for I am understanding that I have the power to attract it as I am wanting it, for whatever I am wanting it for. And as I think of something else that I am wanting, the dollars flow to me easily. And so I have an unlimited supply of dollars or abundance or prosperity. There are abundances in all aspects of my life. I see myself surrounded by others who, like me, are wanting growth, who are drawn to me by my willingness to allow them to be or do or have whatever they are wanting. While I do not need to draw into my experience those things that they may be choosing that I do not like, I see myself interacting with others, talking, laughing, enjoying that which is perfect in them, while they enjoy that which is perfect in me, all of us appreciating one another, and none of us criticizing or noticing those things that we are not liking. I see myself in perfect health. I see myself in absolute prosperity. I see myself invigorated with life, appreciating again this physical life experience which I wanted so very much as I decided to be a physical being. It is glorious to be here, a physical being, making decisions with my physical brain, but accessing the power of the universe through the power of the law of attraction. And it is from this marvelous state of being that I now attract more of same. It is good. It is fun. I am liking it very much. And now my work for this day is done. I will leave this workshop and I will set out the remainder of this day looking for more things that I like. It is nice to know that if I see one who is prosperous but sick, I do not need to bring the whole package into my workshop, just the part that I like. So I will bring the example of prosperity while I will leave the example of sickness out. My work is done. You have some questions for us upon this subject?
Yes, some questions that others have asked and that I think will be relevant to those listening to this tape. First, you spoke of these major laws, universal laws. Are there some laws that are not universal?
There are many that you may call laws. We reserve our definition of law for those things that are universal. In other words, as you enter into this physical dimension, you have the agreement of time, the agreement of gravity, the agreement of this perception of space, where that is not universal, for there are other dimensions that do not share that experience. In many cases where you may use the word law, we would use the word agreement instead.
Okay, good. How many ways can we consciously use this law of attraction?
We'll begin by saying you are utilizing it whether you know you are or not. You cannot stop using it. It is inherent in everything that you do. But we are appreciating your question, for you are wanting to know how to deliberately use it to the achievement of that which you intentionally are wanting.
Yes.
You may deliberately utilize it by focusing upon something that you are wanting, knowing that as you stay focused upon it, more thoughts will be gathered to it, making it stronger and more powerful, which will bring it about very quickly. That is one way you may intentionally utilize it, by staying focused upon something and just letting it do its work, rather than flitting from thought to thought so fast that you never attract any real power. And there is one other very important way of utilizing it, by achieving a state of being in your mind and letting that be the basis from which you attract. It is an advantage to be surrounded by those who look for the best in you. For as they see what you are wanting to see, it stimulates your observation, your magnetic attraction to what you are wanting. While it is of great disadvantage to be surrounded by those who look for your flaws, for as you are seeing them seeing your flaws, then that often becomes your point of attraction.
Okay, so let's say a person has something going already from their previous thoughts, and they decide they want to suddenly change that. Is there a momentum factor? Do they have to slow down what's already been created, or can they instantly create it back the other direction?
There ordinarily is a momentum factor. It need not be, but it usually is, because it is not easy for you to abruptly change anything. You tend to continue thinking in the direction that you have been thinking. You are habitual creatures. And so out of your habit of action or of word or of thought, you continue to maintain the direction that you have already achieved.
And so for the individual who was trying to make a severe switch in prosperity or in health, and they had a momentum factor going the other way, how much faith would it require to say, well, I know this is going to work, even though it hasn't worked yet?
An understanding of the process is really the best way. You see, from your point of disappointment, you are attracting more to be disappointed about. That is the value of this workshop that we've talked about, of getting happy and then going to a place where you see it as you're wanting to be, seeing it so clearly that it already is, bringing forth the emotion, and from that state of being you will attract it. Disappointment is communication from inner being that that which you are focused upon is not what you are wanting. If you are sensitive to the way that you are feeling, then the disappointment itself will let you know that what you are thinking about Good. Is not what you are wanting.
Right. So I have watched through the years, let's say like there'd be a hijacking of an airplane or a terrorist activity or a severe case of child abuse or a mass murder or something negative like that. And then I'll see almost a worldwide wave of that beginning to occur. Is that brought on by the same process?
The law of attraction says that that which is likened to itself is drawn. Therefore, one who is considering hijacking an airliner would be drawn to the television report, seeing the information of hijacking, adding support to that intention held by that individual. That is one way that it works. One who has clear intent not to draw any sort of negative information into his experience is probably not watching the broadcast to begin with, you see. There are so many different intentions and variations of intentions that it is very difficult for us to point out in general how one would bring it about. Certainly, these newscasts add to these situations. For as more and more are focused upon what they are not wanting, they are adding to the subject, adding great influence to the overall events of your world. That is what mass consciousness is about.
Currently, there's a wide range of televised surgery going on. Do you see that sort of thing as increasing the amount of surgery that will actually occur
Absolutely.
Per capita?
You see, what happens is the being watches the television, sees something that they are very much not wanting, illness, sees it displayed or talked about in such detail. They tell you that one out of every five has it, and then they tell you all of the terrible details of it. And as you stay focused upon it, you will receive negative emotion, fear, or dread. As you are focused upon that which you are not wanting, receiving communication from your inner being in the form of emotion saying to you that that which you are focused upon is not what you are wanting, you are in the perfect position for attracting it. Your attracting magnet is on in powerful fashion, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. this negative influence brought about by your television has much to do with the stimulation of thought. They assist you by keeping you focused upon it. Mm-hmm. You cannot forget very long, for they keep it coming at you, you see. And the more you think about it, the more you worry about it, the more you attract it, indeed.
So using the process that you've just given of going into the workshop and focusing on the things that you want, and then out of the workshop and you have a negative emotion, would you suggest trying to find what the thought was that gave you the negative emotion, or would you suggest just thinking of one of the things that you've been thinking about in the workshop that you want?
Good. Very good question. What is most important is that you stop the negative creating. And if there is negative emotion present, you are negatively creating or negatively attracting.
Okay.
The fastest thing to do is to change the thought. However, if there is some very powerful belief within you that causes this thought and negative emotion to come forth again and again and again, then you may find that you are having to do that over and over many times in a day. If that is the case, then it is a good idea to take time to deal with it. And you do that by saying, what thought has brought forth this negative emotion? And when you identify the thought, talk about it to yourself, adding new information until you actually change or bridge that old belief.
Can you give me an
to
example?
Something that is new. Your guidance system works best when you are setting forth continual, deliberate intentions of what you are wanting. Let us say that you have intended in your workshop perfect health. You have visualized yourself as that healthy, vital being.
Mm-hmm.
And while you are having your lunch, you are sitting with a friend, and your friend is discussing her own illness. And as she speaks about her illness, you find yourself feeling very uncomfortable and uneasy in the conversation. Now, what is happening is your warning bell, your guidance system, is saying to you, that which you are hearing and that which you are thinking and that which you are about to speak about is not in harmony with your intent. And so you make a very clear, decisive decision to stop this conversation from going further in the direction, and you decide that you will change the subject. But your friend is very excited and emotionally drawn to this subject, and so your friend brings the conversation back to it, and again your warning bell begins to ring. Now, what we are talking about here happens within you even when there is not another friend. In other words, if there is a belief within you that is very important to you,
mm-hmm.
then even as you try to change the subject in your own mind, your own beliefs may keep bringing it back.
Good.
And that is when you recognize that it is something that you must deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in such an event, when the negative emotion comes, you say, what thought brought that forth? Well, I've intended health, and here I am thinking that I am feeling a little achy, thinking that maybe the flu that everyone else has is going to get me again this year. Now you say, that was a belief that I held before. Now I know that I am the creator of my experience, and I choose not to have the flu. I have received the flu in years gone by because I did not know I was in control. I did not realize that my thought toward it and my expecting of it was the reason I got it. Now I know that. Therefore, now I will not accept the flu as part of my holiday season. I solicit it not. I attract it not. Now you are in the process of bridging the belief. It may be that it will come up again and again, not very much. And each time it comes up, if you will deal with it in that way, eventually it will not come up again, you see.
Yes. How about in the dream world? Are we creating in our dreams? Are we attracting through the thoughts that we're having or experiencing in our dreams?
You're not. You are doing your creating from your fully conscious state. Your dream state is not the state through which you create. It is more often communication offered to you by inner being to assist you in understanding what you are creating.
To what degree
Are we a part of what someone we're associated with has attracted, maybe that we want or that we don't want? How much does another person that we're associated with bring into our life through what they've attracted, the things that we want or the things that we don't want?
There are many facets to this creating. And when you attract another individual into your life experience, it seems as if you attract with them everything that they are. And if you think that, then that will be. In other words, you may attract a very dynamic being into your life experience, someone who is wondrous and fun to be with, but whose life is in total disarray. And so as you attract the being, you may attract the confusion that surrounds them into your own life experience. You need not, however. You may literally attract into your experience only the part of their experience that you are wanting. But that takes very clear definition on your part of what you do want. You attract much confusion because you focus upon the confusion in their life. You focus upon all the things in their life that you do not like, and then you solicit that into your own experience, you see.
Okay, so then we don't need to repel any negatives. We just have to attract what we want.
It is really the same thing.
That's where they're saying, resist ye not evil, probably came from.
It's not necessary to resist that which you are not attracting, you are right. You see, the conscious repelling is not a real effective way of going about it, because then your attention is upon that which you are trying to repel. And when your attention is upon it, you are attracting it. If you are resisting evil, you are giving your thought to evil, and by law you will attract it. And so do not acknowledge it and do not attract it.
I use the word evil there. What would your definition of the word evil be?
Evil is that which each of us believes is not in harmony with what we are wanting.
And good?
Good is that which each of us believes we are wanting.
How do we know what we're wanting? One of the most common things I've heard through the years is people say, well, I just don't know what I do want.
Discovering what you are wanting and then attracting it to your experience is your work here. That is why you are here.
Yes.
We understand it is not an easy thing to do, for you are in the process of learning all about that. Your work is to determine what you want.
And so, could you briefly give us an idea of a system or a process to find out what we want?
A statement, I want to know what I want, can be very important under those circumstances. Identifying that you are wanting to know what you want will begin the attraction process.
So the person that's telling me, I want to know what I want, are at that moment beginning to find it.
That is correct. They are beginning to attract data through which they can make decision about what they want. All experience is of great value. Some of your experiences, you say, no good came from that except that I know I don't want that again.
Mm-hmm.
That is of great value, for it helps you more clearly identify what you do want. You say, for example, there is not gain without pain, and that has evolved from what we have just offered. You say, there is good in all experience, and then you continue that thought to saying, if there is to be good gained, then we must have bad experience. And what we are wanting to clearly state here is that it is never necessary to attract a bad experience in order to understand that there is a better one to be had. That is why we suggest the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Your emotion comes forth. Whether you are living the real life experience, whether you are dreaming the real life experience in your sleep state, or whether you are dreaming the real life experience in your awake state, as in daydreaming in your workshop. Giving your thought to a supposed situation will bring forth the emotion to let you know how you feel about it, just as if it were a real experience. And so we suggest that in your workshop, you bring all sorts of combination of data in to see how you feel about it. When you are clear about everything that you want, you will get all of the results that you want. But often you are not so clear. You say, for example, I want the color of yellow, and I want the color of blue. But what you end up with is green, and you say, how did I get that? I did not intend that at all, when it came forth as a combination of other intentions, you see. And so there is a blending of intentions that is continuous.